This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
You can be going to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. I'm always excited when I get the opportunity to preach. It's what the Lord's called me to do, and I love it. Appreciate that, Brother Cody. I met Cody the other day at the prison under good terms. We got to go and preach, and I want to thank Brother Roy for allowing us to do that. It was a blessing to my heart. I was scared to death, and I was nervous, but Brother Roy said, just stick with him, and he'll take care of us, and he did, and I enjoyed it. Those fellows were an encouragement to me. I was scared. I was nervous, but they all came in toting their Bibles, and amen, so I'm expecting a lot tonight. They preached us to death over there, so I'm expecting some amens from those of you here tonight, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 17 and verse 18. I sure did enjoy the music. I like what the brothers sang, I am crucified with Christ. That line that said, I will offer all I have so that the cross is not in vain. We're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. I'm glad I'm forgiven, but because I'm forgiven, I'm going to work. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, and we'll read verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But, this is what I want to focus on tonight, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray that you would clear my mind. Lord, clear my throat. Help me to be able to preach what you've laid on my heart and what I've studied. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. But grow in grace. Here in the last two verses of Peter's second epistle, we see that he gives us three essentials for persevering in the faith. First one was guard yourself from spiritual error. That was in verse 17. The second one was grow in grace. That's in verse 18. And the third one was glorify Jesus Christ. You see, Peter knew that there were false teachers. They were entering the church, and they were distorting the scriptures. And so he challenges them and us to guard ourselves. But what I would like to focus on this evening is Peter's challenge, or rather, as we'll talk about later, his command, is that we grow in grace. If you read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And so it seems that he begins his writing in his first epistle with grow. You should grow. And then he ends it with the challenge or the command to grow. If a child is not growing, he has a serious health problem, does he not? We all know that, and it gets more evident the longer he lives. If he's not growing, something is wrong. And just the same, if a Christian is not growing, he or she has a spiritual problem. It's a sad thing when we see a person who has lived an extended period of time and not grown either physically or mentally, but it is much more sad when we come across people who have named the name of Christ for years, but they have never grown in that name. Many Christians feel like once they've received Christ, they're done. That's all they have to do. And while it's true that all you have to do is believe and receive and you're saved, amen, God did not save you to sit. God did not save you to be lazy. He expects you to grow. I think of all the graduates we talked about this morning and that we honored, especially those that graduated from college in a specific field. I think of, just take for example, the nursing field. I heard a few of them that graduated with a nursing degree. Now, they went to college and they studied and they got this degree in nursing. And it is one thing to receive that degree and hold the title as a nurse. But what if you never did anything with it? What if you never practiced it? What if you never put it to use? It would personally, to you, devalue the effort you put into achieving it. What if maybe your parents paid for your college? It would devalue what they had done for you, am I right? And when a Christian gets saved and then he is content to sit and to do nothing with the grace that has been given to him, he is telling the world and those around him that he does not put much value on what the Lord has given him. He does not put much value on the grace that Jesus died to give him. And so we want to talk about growing in grace this evening. It may not be something new. You've probably heard this before, but I hope that maybe I can encourage you or challenge you to grow in grace. And there are a few points I would like to make, first of all, about the subject of growing in grace. First of all, I must first say that unless you have been quickened by divine grace, this text does not apply to you. Dead things cannot grow. And only those who are alive unto God by justification have the capability to grow. Unless you have been saved or given life, you cannot grow. And it's my hope that if there's somebody here tonight and you've never received divine grace, you've never received that grace, that you would understand it and realize it, and that you would get saved tonight. Dead things cannot grow. To those who are dead in trespasses and sin, this text has no application. All right? You put a post in the ground, what's it going to do? It's going to remain a post. It'll eventually break down and fall. But you plant a sapling or a little seed or something that has life, and it's going to grow into a flower. It's going to grow into a mighty oak because it has life. All right? So, unless you have been quickened by divine grace, unless you are alive in Christ, this text doesn't apply to you. And my prayer is that you get saved and you receive that grace tonight. Secondly, let me explain that when the text speaks of growth in grace, it does not mean that God's favor or His love for us can grow. Notice the text does not say that grace grows, but rather that we should grow in grace. God's grace never increases. It's bottomless. It's endless. You cannot exhaust it. He'll never run out of it. Am I right? We cannot grow in our justification. You can never be more pardoned or more forgiven than you were the moment you got saved. It is a final and a complete act the moment it happens. You can never be more pardoned or more forgiven, more justified than you are the moment you received salvation. Justification of a believer is a finished, perfect, and complete work. I like this. The weakest Christian is as completely justified as the strongest Christian. Amen? Nothing can be added to your justification and nothing can be taken away. Thirdly, spiritual growth has nothing to do with time. There are people who have been saved a long period of time and they've grown very little. There are people who have been saved a brief period of time and they've grown a lot. Some saints grow faster in grace than others. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: I am sure I may speak concerning myself. I have sometimes grown more in grace in 1 hour than I have at other seasons in a week, a month, or a year, when God in His infinite wisdom has been pleased to give me a vision of the Savior or to break up the fountains of wickedness that lay hidden in my soul. I have learned more in 1 hour when the Holy Spirit's hand has been upon me than I have in weeks and months, simply with my own study. We don't measure spiritual maturity by a calendar or a clock. Fourthly, spiritual growth is not a matter of knowledge only. And I say only. I think we often equate in the church today spiritual maturity with what we know. Knowledge alone isn't the issue. It's what you do with what you know. Amen? The Bible even says in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 that knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge alone will puff you up. There seems to be a sense of pride, and you know that that leads to a fall. All right? So spiritual growth is not a matter of knowledge only. Fifthly, spiritual growth is not a matter of activity only. We seem to think that if we're busy in church and we're active in church, that is a sign of spiritual maturity. If we sing in the choir, if we teach Sunday school, if we go on visitation, that this is a sign that we must be spiritually mature. We think if you're busy enough, you must be spiritual. Spurgeon also said, it often happens that we are very full of public labors, but very short in private devotions. There was no one busier in religion than the Pharisees, yet no one was farther from the truth. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. What did He say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. Busyness doesn't even qualify you for salvation, much less spiritual growth. Now, I must add that spiritual activity is a fruit of spiritual growth. If you're growing in grace and you're growing in spiritual maturity, the fruit is going to be actions. You're going to be busy. But don't mistake it for spiritual maturity. And then finally, and I'll not spend long on this one, spiritual growth has nothing to do with prosperity. There's a lot of prosperity gospel in today's generation. A lot of preachers on TV are telling you that if you're going to find favor from the Lord, He's going to bless you. Okay? So, many people equate their economic situation with favor of God, and that is not true. So what is he talking about when he speaks of growing in grace? What is growing in grace? Number one, I see the essence of growth. What does Peter mean? What does it mean to grow in grace? Peter's not speaking of the grace of justification. We just talked about that. That's not the grace in which he wants us to grow. Rather, this is a matter of sanctification. The fact that he would save me is divine grace, and it's wonderful and it's splendid. But that he would go farther than that and sanctify me and make me something beautiful for him and use me as grace as well. Spiritual growth is not some mystical thing that we could never hope to achieve, and especially for young people. You look up and see these gray-headed individuals in the church, and you say, I don't think I'll ever get to that. You see these preachers that come by, and renowned evangelists, and you assume they must be extremely spiritual and mature, and you say, I'll never be able to get to that. Spiritual growth is not something mystical that you can never achieve. It can be summed up in one statement. It is matching my practice with my position. That's growing in grace. Matching my practice with my position. I am complete in him. I have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now what I have to do is to use those spiritual blessings in my practical life in a way that would prove my position. In a way that would prove to others around me and the world that is watching me that I have received that divine grace, that I've received justification, matching my practice with my position. And Peter's talking about Christian virtues. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, we can look at verse 1 through 8. You can turn there real quick, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that verse 8? They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, on the opposite, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. So what is it to grow in grace? Growing in grace or growth in grace is intimately connected with growth in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, there cannot be any grace at all unless we know Christ. We talked about our position earlier. There's no grace at all unless you know Christ. And there cannot be any growth in grace unless we grow in our knowledge of Christ. It is to learn more of Christ and to act more like Christ, and we do this by adding these Christian virtues that Peter's talking about. Adding to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and all these things. Church, if we are no more like Christ today than the day we got saved, we have failed. Something's wrong. If we don't look any more like him today than the day we got saved, we need to do some serious soul checking. If we have no more Christian virtues or spiritual gifts than the day we believed, we have failed. What an example Peter was of growth in grace. I mean, when the Lord found him, he was pretty rough, wasn't he? He was just an old fisherman that was always having a problem with his mouth. He had an immense pride. He was puffed up and a loud mouth. But look what he became. The Lord worked on him and he grew in grace. You can see what he became at the end of his ministry. So herein lies the question. Do we grow in our spiritual life? Have I grown? Me personally. And ask this question to yourself. Have I grown in my sanctification? Am I any nearer the Lord than when I first met him? Do I possess any more of those Christian virtues than when I first met him? Has there been any evident growth in my Christian life? He does not save you for you to sit dormant. He does not save you for you to be lazy. He saves us and then expects us to continually be growing. All right? So what is this growth? What does he mean? It's when my practice matches my position. It's looking more and more like Christ. It's being more and more like Christ. And how do I do that? By knowing more and more about Christ. So not only the essence of growth, secondly, the example of growth. And I'm trying to hurry. How do we grow in grace? We can use the example of our own bodies. How does a young child grow? By food and exercise, right? Food and exercise are the most important keys to growth, and it's the same in your spiritual life. First of all, there must be communion. There must be communion. There must be daily trips to the table where your spiritual food is served. This is how you come to know him more, by going and communing with him. I could give the examples of a new couple, and they're dating, and they're so in love with each other. And what usually happens? They spend a lot of hours on the phone. I remember even before me and Kayla were even dating, she was in California at Bible college, and I was in Virginia. My dad pastored at the time, and there was quite a time difference. She was 3 hours earlier than I was, and she had certain classes, so when she got out, it was like 12 and 1 o'clock my time, but you know what I'd do? I'd wait up. And we'd spend hours on the phone talking because I wanted to get to know more about her. I enjoyed being and hearing her voice. That was communion, all right? There must be daily trips to the table where your spiritual food is served. That's how you come to know him more. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Unless we have communion with him, we will not have life. And without life, we cannot grow. Communion seems to be the most important part of growing in grace. John 15, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Union without communion ends in death every time. When you have no communion or when you're not abiding, you have no life. And how can you even begin to grow when there is no life? Christ gives the life, he nourishes the life, and he increases it. And so communion must be a priority in a Christian's life. And you know what communion is? That's prayer, talking to him. That's reading your Bible. That's meditating on him throughout the day. Is communion with the Lord a part of your everyday life? Mamas and daddies, you make your child sit down and eat even if he doesn't want to, because you know he has to eat to grow and to be healthy. And if we ever really get a grasp of the fact that even when we don't want to and even when we don't feel like it, we have to have communion with the Lord. It is a necessity. And if we ever got a hold of that, it would change our spiritual lives. How do you grow in grace? The answer is simple. He who gave you grace must give you more of it. My mind goes back to the song, He Giveth More Grace. I'd like to read a couple of the words to you. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. We could go down to verse 3. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limits, his grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. How do we grow in grace? We go back to the one that gave us grace in the first place. How is your communion with the Lord? Do you constantly think on him? Does your heart desire to know more about him? Are you in his word? Do you have conversations with him? There's communion. And then there must be action or exercise. What are your desires? One man said, you tend to become what you long to be. And how true that statement is. If you do not care whether or not you grow in grace, you're probably not going to grow in grace. If you do not care whether you mature spiritually, you're probably not going to mature spiritually. Use the grace you've been given. Practice the truth you know and build on them. I could look at one word that Peter uses, and besides this, giving all diligence. Diligence implies that it's going to take some work. Amen? So get to work. Get your fingers dirty. John even touches on this thought in 1 John when he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. So he seems to be saying, I'm writing unto you, little children, but I'm expecting that at some point you're going to mature past the stage of little children. You're going to be fathers and or young men, and then eventually you're going to mature past that and be fathers. He's saying there's should be some maturing. But it's not without diligence and action. So we see the essence of this growth in grace, the example of this growth in grace, and then thirdly, I see the evidence of this growth. How will we know if we are growing? What are the signs and the evidences of growing in grace? First of all, I see increased humility. The man whose soul is growing feels his own sinfulness and worthiness more and more every day. The more you learn about Christ, the more you know about Christ, and the more you see of his awesomeness and his perfectness and his holiness, the more you realize how unworthy you are. Job said, I am vile. Abraham said, I am dust and ashes. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all your mercies. David said, I am a worm. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. And Peter said, I am a sinful man, O Lord. These are some of the greatest men in the Bible, and they realized who they were and what they were. And it was nothing but unworthiness in the sight of a perfect, holy God. The nearer you draw to God, the more you see of God's holiness and perfection, and the more you realize your own imperfections. Paul said, I am not already perfect. I am not meet to be called an apostle. I am less than the least of all the saints. I am chief of sinners. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived. But he realized who he was in the sight of God. All right? So what is the evidence of growth? It's increased humility. Secondly, increased knowledge of and love towards God. The Christian who is growing finds more in Christ to love every day. Let me explain that. No doubt when you got saved, you saw a lot in Christ to love. He had saved you. But as you grow in grace, you see 1,000 more things in Christ than which you didn't see at first. When you first got saved, you saw Christ as your Savior. Right? But as you grow in grace and you grow in your knowledge of the Lord, your love for him will grow because you'll see him as your substitute. And you'll see him as your intercessor. And you'll see him as your shepherd. And you'll see him as your advocate. And you'll see him as your friend and as your physician. And as your knowledge of him grows, your love for him will grow. And that will be a sign of growing in grace. All right? Thirdly, increased holiness of life. The Christian who is growing gets more dominion over sin in the world and the devil every day. He becomes more careful about his words and actions. He's more conscious of his conduct and the way he lives. He strives to be more conformed to the image of Christ in all things. He is not content with just receiving grace, but he wants to grow in it. Increased holiness of life. All right? Then I would see increased spirituality of taste. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Christian who is growing in grace has more of an interest in spiritual things every day. He still goes about his duties in the world, but the things he loves best are spiritual things. The recreations and amusements of this world seem to have less of a place in his heart. And maybe we do not grow in grace because of the things of the world taste too good to us. Maybe that's why we don't mature spiritually. But when you grow in grace, you'll start getting a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for him and to know more about him. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What is the evidence of growth? Increased taste for spiritual things. Then I see increased charity. The Christian who is growing in grace is more full of love every day, especially love towards the brethren. Love shows itself. It radiates, and it's an evidence of growth. And I'm going to hurry on. Lastly, I see that there is an increased zeal and diligence in the interest of lost souls. The Christian who is growing in grace will take greater interest in the salvation of others every day. He longs to see others enjoy the grace that he himself has received. If you don't have a burden for lost souls, you're not growing. Something's wrong with you. You're dormant. You're sitting. But the person and the Christian that is growing in grace has an increased zeal and diligence for lost souls because he wants them to receive what he has already received. And then lastly, I just want to look at a couple of things real quick. A couple of thoughts. First of all, I see that Peter does not suggest that we grow in grace, but rather he commands that we grow in grace. It's imperative. Peter does not say, if you grow in grace, or to those who grow in grace, he says, grow in grace. Like my English teacher taught me, you could insert the understood you there. You grow in grace. He is not asking, he is telling, and it's because Peter knows the seriousness of the issue. He gives us a command. And with every command, we know comes consequences, right? If we fail to follow the command. Why was Peter imperative? Why was it a command? I would say because of the alternative or the consequences. We read it. 2 Peter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He gives us the warning before he gives us the command. When you do not grow or cease to grow, you will fall or be cut off. John 15, 6, we read it a minute ago. If a man abide not in me, what? He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Those who do not grow will fall. I read something the other day. They say that trees are constantly growing, whether it's upward or downward. But the minute they stop growing is when they become weak and they start to fall and they start to die. And it's the same in our spiritual life. When we stop growing, we will fall. Do not think because you have been quickened by divine grace that you are okay to sit. Christ did not mean for you to stay a baby Christian. 2 Peter 1, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Hath forgotten what the Lord did for him. You sit long enough, you'll forget what the Lord did for you. Or you'll lose the amazement of what God did for you. And that should prick your heart. I never want to get to the place where I've stopped growing so long that I forget what the Lord did for me. What makes us want to grow? Why should we grow? What is our incentive? I would say lastly in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Your ultimate goal as a Christian is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That's what he saved you for. To make you just like his son. And that every day you would bring him glory and honor. And how do we do that? By becoming more like him. Every day becoming more Christ-like. Every day becoming more like the image of him. That is what brings honor to him. Peter was the perfect example of growing in grace, and I'm about done. He started out rough, but he didn't stay that way. He progressed, and in the end, he penned these words for us to learn from. Peter was an example of growing in grace, but I want to say this before I'm done. He was also an example of never outgrowing the need to grow. You'll never get to a place in your life where you've matured completely. That's glorification. And that's going to happen one day when he calls us home. So until then, always understand that you can always grow. You see, an example of that is Peter. At the end of his ministry, Paul even had to come and rebuke him to his face. Peter? Yeah, he had to be rebuked. He still had some growing to do, even at the end of his ministry. Growing in grace is not a work that you will complete. That's going to be done one day in heaven. So you'll never outgrow the need to grow until you're glorified. What a day that's going to be when we are the perfect image of the Lord himself. And until then, I endeavor to grow in grace. Let me ask you a question. Are you any nearer the Lord than when you first met him? Do you look any more like him than when you first met him? Do you know any more about him than when you first met him? The man who doesn't want to grow does not love God, because love begs to be closer and love begs to know more. All right? Examine your spiritual state. Have you grown in grace or are you still a babe? Are you continually growing? And let us start tonight with a new zeal to grow in grace as Peter has commanded us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for the words that we can learn from. Lord, I thank you that Peter was an example of them, that he penned them for us. Lord, I'd pray that you'd all help us to realize the seriousness of growing in grace. You didn't save us for us to just sit around and be lazy, But you saved us to know more about you and to grow in this grace that we can show a lost and dying world exactly who you are and what you are. And I pray that you'd help us to take heed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give him a hand.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.